morning. It is Tuesday, March 19th. A quorum is present, and the Minnesota Senate Education Finance will now come to order. It is 8:35. Today, we will be hearing four bills and then two vehicle bills. And I think we're going to start with Senator Mayquaid. This is a bill for a grant for Girl Scouts community engagement. We will be laying this over for possible inclusion in our omnibus bill. So if you would like to begin, Senator, and you have a few testifiers, you may begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, members of the committee. Before you, Senate File 3503, which allocates $1 million in one-time funding to the Girl Scouts River Valley to continue providing supplemental education programs in partnerships with local schools and school districts. Senate File 3503 funding is specifically for a program that's focused on leadership, entrepreneurship, STEM learning, and healthy relationship building for girls in underserved communities facing systemic barriers in K-12 education. The bill also requires the Girl Scouts to submit a report detailing expenditures and the outcomes of the grant-supported program, and the report will include demographic information, the number and percentage of participants who self-report positive social and emotional health benefits, and the number and percentage who believe they will be graduating from high school and enrolling in college or career training. Previously, state funding of $1 million was awarded in 2022 via the Legislative COVID Response Commission and funds several different programs among the three Girl Scout councils. I hope I can count on your support for Senate File 3503. As a former Girl Scout myself, I am proof positive that they teach you wonderful, wonderful things. And with that, I can turn it over to my testifier, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator. And I think our first presenter or testifier is Sarah Gangelhoff. If you'd like to state your full name for the record, and you may begin.
Sure, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Sarah Gangelhoff, and I'm the Director of Advocacy and Community Relations at Girl Scouts River Valleys. I'm here in support of Senate File 3503, the Girl Scout Bill, a vitally important bill, not just for our council, but for youth throughout Minnesota. I'd like to thank Senator Mayquaid for being our chief author and Senators Gustafson and Umuver Benton for signing on as co-authors. The Girl Scout engagement programs have been around for a decade, but the demand from schools has outpaced our financial capacity. That's why we are excited to partner with the state in 2022 when we received $1 million of state ARPA funds for STEM and social-emotional health programming impacted by the pandemic. With this initial investment, the Girl Scout Councils partnered together to provide subsidized programming to over 3,500 girls in Minnesota and expanded our respective programming to communities that have historically been underserved. Many youth face financial, transportation, and cultural barriers when it comes to participating in out-of-school time programming. So we meet Girl Scouts literally where they are, creating partnerships with school districts to hold meetings on site, in community centers, and neighborhoods. We also honor and incorporate the cultures of girls that Girl Scouts bring with them into the Girl Scout experience, where almost 90% of our participants identify as non-white. We partner with schools where a high number of students qualify for free and reduced price lunch, and 75% of the participants in these programs are in that demographic. In a time when girls continue to be underrepresented in some of the highest paying and fastest growing fields, and social media can feel so very isolating, Girl Scouts opens up the world through activities focused on science, access to the outdoors, mathematics, coding, career exploration, while making healthy connections with peers in a safe environment with a trusted adult. Longitudinal data on over 2,000 alumni of just the Connects program has shown outstanding results as referenced in your handout. As promising as these results are, more is needed. SF 3503 will help Girl Scouts continue to serve Minnesota communities and also allow Girl Scouts to gather additional data and resources. Additional data and results. By supporting the Girl Scout Bill, you are supporting girls' educational and social emotional health success now and into the future. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of this committee.
Thank you so much, Director Gangelhoff. Was it this summer or was it the summer before that I came out and visited the camp and saw all that hands-on activity?
Yeah, it was the summer before. That was our trades camp where girls learn trades through women in the trades, women mentors in the trades. So, you know, everything from putting a window together to powering a light switch, amazing things that they get to do. Yeah, and we were so happy to have you as one of our campers.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a really lovely day out there with all of you. So thank you. Next, we have Paulette Bonaire. Director of the New Initiatives. If you would like to state your full name for the record, and then you may begin.
Of course. Thank you so much, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Paulette Bonner. And when I was getting ready this morning, I was like, what in the world am I going to say? I got nervous, and for someone who talks a lot, most would think that is uncommon. But as I sat in the room with my Girl Scouts troop leader vest on, I really feel like this is a place where we have a lot of support. And so I'm excited and elated to be here representing not only Girl Scouts River Valleys, but the girls, right? My name is Paulette, and first and foremost, I am a mom, and usually my friends' daughters know me as Harper's mom, and so that's what I get called a lot. And throughout my journey being Harper's mom, there were some ups and downs, and during the pandemic, what I really found was that when I was young, I didn't get the mentorship and some of the guidance that I wish I had. And as I yearned for those things, pregnant mom, I thought to myself, you know what? Since I didn't get it, I'm going to be that for somebody else. I didn't quite know how that was going to happen, but I just had this wild idea that I would become a Girl Scouts troop leader. Long story short, I wanted free cookies, yes. However, it's been an amazing experience. For the past 3 years, I've been a mentor troop leader for BIPOC Mentor Troop 18793. We currently have 15 girls, one of which is in Nigeria, and we got to Skype her before, so the girls thought that was really cool, learning about her way of life back in Africa. But we would not be here, and I would not be here, if not for the Mentor Troop program. Kind of like Connects, Mentor Troops offers girls of color the experience to participate in Girl Scouting, where traditionally they may not have had the opportunity. It also provides leaders like myself, women of color, to participate in Girl Scouting. I never had the opportunity to be a Girl Scout. My mom was a single parent. Recently, though, I found out my sisters both got to be a Girl Scout for a year, which, what's up with that? I don't know how I got left out. But when I joined up to be a Girl Scout troop leader, I didn't really think a whole lot of it. Yes, I could help some girls, and maybe it would be fun. But 3 years into it, our last meeting last Saturday, celebrating 112 years of Girl Scouting with a local business owner at her cake decorating class that we coordinated, frosting everywhere, Thin Mints crumbled on cookie sheets. It was a hot mess, and the smiles were bigger than the ocean. It was so cool to see the girls making their cake creations, but more importantly, leaning over to each other, asking for help, and then when they left, some of which who are going on spring break, giving me the biggest hugs in life. Now, most people in my family think it's weird that I have two kids because I was always like, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's for me. But now I say that I not only have two kids, I have 15 girls that I'm responsible for, I am a role model for, and I wouldn't be here to be a role model for them without the Girl Scouts Mentor Troop program. So much so, I loved Girl Scouts. I left a 14-year education career with the state of Minnesota as a higher education professional, and I currently serve as the director of new strategic initiatives. I am beyond proud to be in this role, and I also know that when we teach our girls to have courage, confidence, and character, without us even knowing, it trickles down to us as adults. I've had the courage to walk away from a career that I was very comfortable in, but that I knew I could give more to my community. And I had our Student Senate president visited Girl Scouts yesterday, and he told our employee at the front desk, he's like, well, we didn't want her to leave, but we let her go. And their Student Senate meetings are still running properly. I'm sure that they're using Robert's Rules just like I taught them. The confidence, the courage to leave, the confidence to stand up in front of the girls and admit when I'm wrong or when I'm right, when I know what I'm doing and when I have no clue what I'm doing, or when I'm just feeling overwhelmed, because I think that there's a misconception that you have to be perfect as a troop leader, and that's not true. Girl Scouts River Valleys has a lot of support, and there are a lot of resources for us as troop leaders to not only grow ourselves personally, but professionally, hence the name tag that I get to wear now. And the character to do what's right even when nobody's looking, the character to stand up for people, the character to be a great person and to be a member of our community, one that we could be proud of. And there's a mom in our troop who she said her daughter was misbehaving, if you would, doing normal things that girls do, not wanting to do chores and whatnot. And she looked at her and she asked her, is that the Girl Scout way? And immediately, the attitude shifted, and she got to doing her chores. And my initial thought was, yes, I'm going to try this at home. But also, what an impact. What a difference. I know the difference. I know which girls need a hug. I know which girls want me to smile at them. I know which girls need to be affirmed and which girls need me to say, oh my God, you did such a great job. And that wouldn't be possible without Girl Scouts River Valley. So I am here in support of this bill, obviously the Girl Scout bill, and I'm so appreciative for the supporters of this bill, and I would like to turn it back over to Erin.
Thank you so much for all of that. I think your story is not a unique story for young girls and women and leadership. And so thank you for sharing all of that with us, and thank you for changing your path to become a mentor and to work with our girls in our communities. I think it's really important. And as you said, when they are, you know, showing that character, I forget what else, what character?
Confidence.
And
character.
So, yeah, examples for us all. So thank you for that. Online, we have another testifier, Cecilia Jort. Are you there? There she is.
Hello, yes. Can you hear me all right?
Yep, we hear you. Would you please state your name for the record and you can begin?
Okay, yes. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Cecilia Jordy, and I'm a Girl Scouts alum of Troop 55640, as well as a first-generation sophomore student at Northwestern University in Evanston. I tried to sign up for Girl Scouts as a kindergartner through my elementary school, but there were no troops available. When I was in second grade, my troop leader, Janet, reached out to my mom and asked if I was still looking for a troop, and I joined hers happily and stayed until I was a senior. Growing up in a low-income household, I was able to be in my troop in part due to a financial grant for Girl Scouts to cover costs such as my book, sash, and dues. Girl Scouts was such a valuable opportunity for me because it allowed for me to engage in so many different experiences. Aside from just selling cookies and spending time with my friends, I wrote a song, met an author, helped grow a community garden, and so much more. I believe my exposure to so many interests at such a young age helped me to figure out what I want to do in the future. I always enjoyed math in school, but unique experiences such as learning coding fundamentals and even observing how a heart stent worked in a pig heart really allowed my interest to flourish. Currently, I'm studying to be a biomedical engineer at Northwestern, and I feel like my love for STEM started at a young age and can be traced back to those experiences. In addition to the experiences Girl Scouts offered, it also provided a safe space for me, especially during hard times like COVID. I never felt othered or any judgment from my troop, and it was always a place I could go to connect with others. During COVID, we had online meetings and were often encouraged to just talk to each other, which I think we all really needed. It was always so nice to have that space where I could still talk to and connect with my friends, even when everything was turned upside down. I sincerely hope everyone who wants to experience something so valuable as Girl Scouts is able to, and I hope Senate File 3503, the Girl Scouts bill, has the support needed to make this happen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Cecilia, and best wishes to you on your academic journey. That sounds like a really challenging field you've come into. So. That is the last of our testifiers. Members, do you have any questions or comments? Senator Swadzinski.
Thank you all. Thank you, Senator, for bringing this bill forward. I love the Girl Scout model, this Girl Scout law. That thing is flawlessly perfect if we could all live our lives that way. And I just want to encourage, I taught at the high school level for 33 years, and the girls that were still sticking at it were the most popular girls in school because when it came to Girl Scout cookie time, and it was adorable. And one of the things I started doing a couple years ago that I'm not quite sure why I do this, but when I see the Girl Scout booths, little setup stands, I love giving them money and not asking for a box of cookies for dietary reasons. But the look on their faces is priceless because they assume that, you know, all sales have to require turning over Girl Scout cookies. And just to see people that respect and admire their efforts and hard work and just want to help them with a financial contribution and not want any cookie. I don't even know how to describe the looks on their faces, but it's a habit. Well, if any of you care to join me in that habit, it's priceless. So thank you, Senator, for bringing this bill forward.
Any other one? Any other comments? All right. Well, Senator, if you have last word before you finish.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Swazinski, I selflessly volunteer to take those cookies if you'd like to make it a full exchange, just to be really helpful. I'll just end with this, Madam Chair. I will do my best to be honest and fair, friendly and helpful, considerate and caring, courageous and strong, responsible for what I say and do, and to respect others, myself, authority, use resources wisely, make the world a better place, and be a sister to every Girl Scout. And that's why I brought this bill, Madam Chair. I hope that it makes it into our omnibus. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Should we have all raised our hand like that? Yes. All right, with that, Senator Makewade, Senate File 3503 is laid over for possible inclusion in our omnibus bill. Thank you. Thank you all. All right, next we have Senator Bolden, who is, there she is. She is presenting remotely, Senate File 3896. Senator Bolden, would you, first of all, does she have an amendment? Yep,
I do have an amendment.
Do you want to speak to your A1 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. So the A1 amendment simply is one line to state that this is a one-time appropriation.
Thank you. Senator Swadzinski, would you like to move the A1 amendment? Thank you. All right. Let's see. All in favor of the A1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Any objections, say no. The A1 amendment passes. And Senator Bolden, to your bill as amended.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm grateful to be before you this morning with Senate File 3896. This is a very straightforward bill, which would provide a $450,000 grant to the Dyslexia Institute of Minnesota to provide free evidence-based literacy interventions to students who are reading below the grade level and who are enrolled in public schools where a majority of students are eligible for free and reduced meals. As we have seen with the READ Act, we are making great strides towards literacy for students, and this is an organization that does great work with students who are not reading at grade level. They provide one-on-one tutoring and instruction to students through their programming, and this bill will help to support their efforts. There's specifics in the bill that the funding would be used to support tutor training and compensation, materials, program delivery, and administration. And then they will also provide a report to the legislature on how the funds were used and progress. So with that, Madam Chair, I'm happy to look forward to discussion and questions.
Thank you, Senator Bolden. We have two testifiers, Executive Director of the Reading Center, Cindy Russell. If you would please state your name for the record, and you may begin.
Yes. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee. My name is Cindy Russell, Executive Director of the Dyslexia Institute of Minnesota, but we're more frequently known as the Reading Center. We are a 73-year-old statewide educational nonprofit, and I am a proud Girl Scout as well, and former troop leader. We've provided educational intervention based in the science of reading since we were founded in 1951. Children who aren't proficient reading by third grade are four times more likely to drop out than proficient readers. Children drop out when they're disengaged with school, and that starts with absenteeism. 85% of juveniles in the court system are functionally illiterate. And we know that children of color bear the worst life impacts of reading poorly. When fully implemented, the READ Act will have a positive impact on all emerging readers. But the professional development efforts of our teachers will take time to reach children in the classroom, while older elementary and middle school students may miss out on those READ Act benefits entirely. Teachers in middle and high school won't complete training on the current schedule until 2027. So kids in fourth grade and up need help now, or they may never catch up. We can't allow another generation of kids to be functionally illiterate. The Reading Center has been offering science of reading interventions called Orton-Gillingham for our entire 73-year history. and it aligns with the science of reading. It works. Last year, we launched a new program called Partnership Tutoring. We partner with public schools serving very low-income students and send our trained Orton-Gillingham staff into the school in the fall. Then in very, very small intervention groups, two or three students max, students are taught intensively during the school day, twice a week for an hour for the whole school year. This is intensive intervention. The results for the first year were impressive. We've grown to include 5 partnership schools this year, with 2 middle schools ready to partner next year, 1 each in St. Paul and in Rochester. We do not charge the schools or the families. This program is funded by private foundations and businesses like Mayo Clinic. We're asking that the state join the private sector in helping us double the number of schools and struggling readers with whom we intervene. With me today is Michelle Cambrice, dedicated director and co-founder of the Journey School in St. Paul, which was one of our very first partnership schools. And I'd like to allow her to say a little bit about how this program has impacted the students at the Journey School.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Ms. Cambrice, if you would like to state your full name for the record, and you may begin.
Good morning, Madam Chair, and good morning, committee members. My name is Michelle Cambrice. I am co-founder and director of the Journey School here in St. Paul. We serve students in grades kindergarten through eighth grade. We opened our doors in 2019, and we wanted to make a difference in young people's lives. And with that, we look for community partners, and the Reading Center has been one that has been great for our students. Our students in grade 4 through 8 have the opportunity and the privilege to work with tutors. We have seen our students in this program grow. Our teachers talk about how now our students are raising their hands to read out loud, the confidence, and this has been great for all of them. So I'm here today to support the Reading Center and this bill to make a difference in our young people's lives. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming here and sharing that and for the work that you've been doing. Members, that is the last of our testifier. Any questions or comments? All right. Go ahead, Senator Gustafson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say thank you for doing this. I know we continue to hear how reading and literacy is important in our schools, and I know you have all been doing this work a long time. So I just wanted to say I appreciate you for being here and sharing your experience. And it's just good to always hear the perspective of what it's like out there. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Anyone else? All right. Well, with that, Senator Bolden, your Senate File 3896 will be laid over, as amended, will be laid over for possible inclusion in our future omnibus bill. Thank you, and thank you, testifiers.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Next, we have Senator Umu Verbaden, Senate File 3978. When you are ready, Senator.
Madam Chair, Senate File 3978 is a bill to subdivide the Urban Voluntary Pre-Kindergarten, or VPK, region into separate regions for Minneapolis and St. Paul. This bill has no fiscal note and does not affect the other VPK districts or their seat allocations. It just simply would separate Minneapolis and St. Paul public schools into individual VPK regions. It allocates future VPK seats in the same manner as all other regions. Each region receives a percentage of funding equal to their share of the state's overall kindergarten enrollment. The current blended St. Paul, Minneapolis region receives about 8% of the VPK funding. And then Minneapolis and St. Paul VPK region's future VPK allocations will be proportionate to their kindergarten's enrollment as a ratio of the total statewide kindergarten enrollment. Just to give you a little bit of background on this, when the voluntary pre-kindergarten program was created, it was targeted at schools with concentrations of poverty. And to ensure an equitable distribution of statewide funding, four regions were established with schools from each region competing for the funding from those four pools. Those regions were number one, Minneapolis and St. Paul, two, the remaining seven county metro, three, Greater Minnesota, and then four, charter schools. Each region receives a percentage of funding equal to their share of the state's overall kindergarten enrollment. And Minneapolis and St. Paul Public Schools have successfully administered the allocation process since 2017. The current law requires negotiation of a number of workarounds to accommodate things like changes in free and reduced lunch site rankings, enrollment changes, new school sites, and school closures. And these changes require really careful collaboration and negotiation to faithfully administer the program. So we believe that staff time could be better devoted to serving our students. And the bill really just resets or updates the pool of school sites eligible for VPK seats based on their free reduced lunch ranking within their region. So just again to close, it's updating the VPK seat allocation model in a manner that would add a fifth region. So it would be separating Minneapolis and St. Paul from each other, just streamlining each district's VPK application process. So it preserves the principle of proportionate allocation of VPK seats to eligible sites within each region, preserves the use of free reduced lunch as a metric of need to rank eligible sites, and then updates and streamlines the process to identify eligible sites to reflect the 2024 landscape. And I also have a testifier here who can provide more information.
Thank you so much, Senator Umu Verbatim. We have Mr. Grathwald from St. Paul. If you would like to introduce yourself, and you may begin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator, for your authorship. My name is Jim Grathwald, St. Paul Public Schools. This is a small but mighty bill. It actually kind of generated out of our staff because they spent so much time working with their great colleagues in Minneapolis and decided we think we have a better mousetrap. If we had our individual separate regions, we could spend more time serving students, less time trying to figure out all the variables. There's a lot of variables that go into this enterprise. What we're conserving here by creating two separate regions is time that staff spent negotiating back and forth across this great river, the Mississippi, and we increase the amount of certainty we can offer parents. The more certainty we have around our seats, number of seats that we're going to serve, where we place them in schools, we have about 35 schools in St. Paul, Minneapolis is comparable. The more certainty we can offer parents, the sooner we can clear our waiting list. We're not here to say VPK is incredibly popular with parents and families. We're not here to say it's incredibly successful, delivering outcomes for students. We're here to say we can deliver more certainty to more parents and families, clear our waiting list, and do it in less time. So that's what this bill does. It doesn't affect anybody else in the state, but it's going to make the staff in the St. Paul and Minneapolis early education departments much happier because they'll spend more time serving the students they're committed to serve. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grathwald. Any questions or comments?
One other thought. In the other body, this passed unanimously. It's on the general register. It's going to be folded into an early ed policy bill.
Good to know. Thank you. I have a question. Is this in full agreement with our neighboring, our Twin City? Oh, I see a thumbs up in the back there. Yeah. Okay. Everybody's in agreement?
Correct. correct.
All right. Thank
Madam
you so
Chair,
much.
I think we should take a moment to just celebrate Minneapolis and St. Paul.
I was going
getting
to say,
along and not fighting with each other. We have such a rivalry.
Wait a minute. Yeah, this is great. Okay. It makes a lot of sense. It does make a lot of sense. So any other comments or questions? All right. Any final parting words? All right. So, Senator Umu verbatim, your Senate File 3978 will now pass through, and with possible inclusion, if not going to the floor, we'll see what happens with that. But thank you for bringing this forward.
Thank you very much.
I'm just going to move to the testifier seat to pass my two Senate filed bills.
Senator Kunesh, welcome to your committee. Would you like to make the motion to pass SF 4688 4690 to the Senate floor today? Oh, to the committee today. What? One at a time. So sorry. Let's try that one more time. Would you like to make a motion to pass Senate File 4688 today?
I do. This is just a basic vehicle bill, so there's no fiscal note or anything connected to it. We're just going to use it as a vehicle bill.
Members, any questions? All right. Thank you, members. All those in favor of passing 4688, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so moved. Senator Kunesh, sorry, we could hear some audio. I was just seeing if someone was chiming in. Senator Kunesh, now on to Senate File 4690. Would you like to move that today?
I would like to move this. This is, again, a vehicle bill, and just simply using it as that vehicle bill.
Members, any questions? All right, all those in favor of passing 4690, please signify by saying aye. All those opposed? All right.
Members, we have one more bill on our docket. We are waiting for Senator Muhammad to come present her bill. So we're just going to sit quietly for a moment or two and wait for Senator to join us. Thank you. Senator Farnsworth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, if we have a little bit of extra time, I'd be happy to offer Senate File 4805 today that we could discuss. I don't even know if that's allowed under the rules. It's a historic building levy increase.
He just wants to hear, he wants to present his bill, 4708. Senator Farnsworth, why don't you take a seat at the testifier table and we'll see what you got.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Go ahead. So So this isn't an official hearing. We would have had to give notice and allow for testifiers and all of that sort of thing. But if you want to give us a little bit of information about it and advocate for yourself, that'd be fine.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So as of course you toured Historic Hibbing High School, and we're trying to come up with creative ways to get financing or funding to maintain that building. And Bjorn would probably be able to also help describe this, because he helped draft the language for this. So basically what this does is that it adds one section to the levy, to the increased levy availability, so it doesn't cost the state anything. It would just allow schools or districts with schools on the National Historic Registry to be able to levy up to an additional $200,000 per school that they have on the National Historic Registry for long-term maintenance. We had testifiers in this committee last year that talked about how much more expensive it is to maintain buildings like this. And so we're trying to get creative on how to increase funding for that maintenance without actually costing the state any additional money. In my school district, it would cost the average homeowner about $10 per year to reach that $200,000 if the school board were to decide to do that. So I appreciate the opportunity to discuss this.
Thank you, Senator Farnsworth. Anybody have questions? Senator Swedzinski.
Maybe you should reach out to that kid from Dune or Willy Wonka. Now, after his visit to the school and his next film and playing Dylan, maybe he can donate out of the receipts of his income to that wonderful school you guys have to be able to work at in Hibbing. So just kind of being smart alecky this morning in this informal setting we have right now. But it's an idea, though, actually.
Any response?
Thank you, Senator. That is definitely an idea. We are proud that Hibbing is the home of Bob Dylan, and the historic Hibbing Auditorium, I believe, was the first place that Bob Dylan actually performed in public. As the rumor goes, he actually got booed off the stage. I don't know if that's true or not, but we are definitely proud of Bob Dylan, and he will be playing Bob Dylan. So if he comes back to town, we can certainly ask him.
Thank you so much. Senator Gustafson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wondered if you could give me the bill number that this is, if you know it offhand. Otherwise, you could give it to me offline, I suppose.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe it's 4805, but I don't have it in front of me. Since
Senator
this is sort of an impromptu, fill the time. And I appreciate your indulgence, Madam Chair.
Certainly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one more follow-up question. Knowing that there's a lot of historic buildings in that area, are you working with people in other districts to look for this funding? I know you're saying that the levy would be specific to probably your area, but are you working with other districts like Senator Eichhorn, Senator Hochschild?
Senator Farnsworth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is only exclusive to school districts that actually have buildings that are in use that are on the historic registry. In our research last year, there were only I think five buildings, three in Winona, one in Hibbing, and one in New Ulm. And then actually this wouldn't apply, but I think the School for the Deaf also has a school that's on the historic registry, but since they're not a public school, this wouldn't apply. So we think that it only applies to five schools. We didn't make it mandatory, so the school boards can decide if that's something that they would want to levy or not. So it doesn't apply to any other buildings in my area. That's the only building would be the Hibbing High School.
Thank you.
Senator, follow-up? Okay. Any other comments or questions? Well, thank you, Senator Farnsworth. It looks like Senator Muhammad is here to present her bill. Thank you for taking up our space.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Muhammad, Senate File 2959, would you like to pass? Let's see, we have an A1 amendment. Senator Gustafson, would you like to move the A1 amendment?
Yes.
Thank you. Would you give us a little information about your amendment, Senator?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I believe that the amendment changed the year to 2025, I believe. I don't have it in front of me right now. Apologize. The fiscal year, because mm-hmm. I think this bill was introduced last
would
session.
Would you like a copy of the
yes, please.
Amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A1 amendment deletes page 1, line 11, and it makes it $150,000 instead of that it inserts $300,000, and then changes page 2, line 2, from 2024 to 2025 fiscal year.
Thank you. Members, all in favor of the A1 amendment, please say aye. Aye. Any nays? The A1 does pass. And Senator, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members, for your patience. Before you is Senate File 2959 for the Implementation Program 826 MSB, which they're seeking to revolutionize educational support in the metro area by targeting resources specifically towards bolstering student success in mathematics, science, and problem-solving skills. With a focus on equity and excellence, program 826 MSB centers pipe box students in an aim to narrow achievement gaps, fostering critical thinking and empowering our students with the tools they need to thrive in an increasingly competitive global landscape. And as we delve into the details of this legislation, I want to make sure that we keep in mind the transformative impact it can have on the lives and the futures of countless young people, particularly young people of color in our communities. And I have the executive director of the organization with me, Jamal Adams.
Thank you so much. Dr. Jamal Adams, if you'd like to join us, and when you get settled, state your name for the record, and you may begin.
Madam Chair, my name is Jamal Adams. I'm the executive director of 826 MSB.
You may begin.
Good morning. As I said, my name is Jamal Adams, and I'm the executive director of 826 MSB, a nonprofit organization dedicated to empowering Minnesota's youth by helping them develop their creative and expository skills, writing skills. I'm submitting this written testimony to request that Minnesota Senate Education Finance Committee include SF-2959 in the omnibus bill. The bill will allocate funding to our organization, allowing us to expand our reach and impact on the lives of countless students across the state. Madam Chair, as an advocate for literacy education, I believe 826 MSP's programs are filling a gap in literacy education by focusing on writing skills. By developing students' writing skills, students can express themselves clearly, convey their ideas, and effectively communicate with others. Equally important, strong writing skills enable students to convey a sense of professionalism, critical thinking, and it helps them to succeed in a wide range of industries and jobs. However, many students struggle to develop these skills due to lack of resources. 826 MSP's programs address this gap by providing students with hands-on writing projects, writing workshops, and one-on-one tutoring to help them develop their confidence and improve their writing abilities. The success of our unique program is a testament to the incredible network of volunteers and mentors who generously give their time and expertise to support our students. This network includes dedicated teachers, talented writers, and passionate community members, all united by a shared belief in the power of education to change lives. Our impact on students is displayed by these statistics. 90% of students surveyed agreed that 826 MSP helped them improve their writing and challenged them to do their best work. Over 90% of students felt their thoughts and opinions were valued and they felt safe and supported. 93% of teachers that we collaborate agreed that 826 MSP motivated their students to write and increased their persistence in their writing process. We partner with close to 70 long-term volunteers, 23 teaching artists, 12 schools, and 43 educators to deliver programming to serve over 1,500 students annually. These programs are particularly crucial for students who are underserved communities who may not have access to the same resources and opportunities as their peers. By providing these students with the support they need to develop their writing skills, 8-6 MSP's programs help level the playing field and create more equitable society. I have with me some of the publications by our students, and I don't know if Senator Muhammad, you can pass out these.
I'd like to ask one of the pages or two of the pages to come up and maybe distribute the pieces of literature that he has. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you. So these are all our publications by young students. And when you see the pride they take in their work and how much it contributes to their leadership skills, their civic engagement abilities, and how it helps them improve their sense of personhood and contributes to their educational success. And today you will hear some of those students how our programs helped them. And so I strongly urge you to support Senate File 2959 and continue to fund 826 MSP's programs. The impact of these programs is essential for preparing our students to focus for our students' success in workforce and beyond. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Adam. Next, we have a student, Mubashir Muhammad. Are you here or are you online? There you are. Oh, there she is. You may begin. Please, state your name for the record and you may begin.
My name is Mubashir Muhammad. I'm a junior at South High School. And basically, I'm just going to say why the writer's room is important to me. The writer's room is important to me because it's given me skills and motivations to go to college, just be a better person. And I feel like the main reason the writer's room has had such a big impact on me is because of the people that are in the writer's room day out. Annie continues to show up even if she's sick, even if she's not. I feel like it's given me a community where I can build better relationships, where I feel understood, and it's given me skills when it comes to socially and actually writing skills. I am dyslexic, so I always have not been the biggest fan of writing. Mm-hmm. So the writer's room has given me a different way of writing, a motivation for it. So I feel like I've become a better student and a better person because of the writer's room.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Mr. Muhammad. Next we have Munitra Shaibu, another student, and I believe there she is. Annie Hi. Shen is going to present for her.
Yes. Hi. My name is Annie Chen. I am the writer's room manager here at South High. I am reading a testimony on behalf of Muniratu Shaibu. She was very excited to testify, but the testifying ended up conflicting with her road test, so she is taking her road test right now.
Oh, good luck to her.
All right, so as an aspiring creative, I cannot imagine my high school experience without the writer's room at my school. Resuming in-person schooling after COVID, which schools and communities are still recovering from, there is an extreme lack of third spaces for most students. A third space being a place that's not quite home, nor school, but just a place for students to be cost-free. Throughout my middle school and elementary years, I'd always been heavily involved in after-school activities. It had become essential to my life as a student, and compared to other programs or spaces, the Writers' Room at South High has been there from the jump from my freshman year in 2021. As most freshmen, to a certain extent, I was scared to join and explore new spaces, including the Writers' Room. I vividly remember the first day my class was introduced to this space, the coordinator at the time, Janine, and the activity she engaged us in. I imagined myself spending a lot of time here in the future, whether it be for an essay, reading, or doing my own personal work. It seemed like a place for me to thrive, and I was right. It was only yet to happen during my sophomore year, though, because as much as I seemed to like the space, I'd only attended one author's visit and truly gained much insight. Throughout my sophomore year, myself and a few friends took advantage of the amount of author visits ran by the writer's room. I stopped by often, gotten familiar with our new coordinator, Annie, and was always collecting passes to each event. Now, mind you, although they were titled author visits, not all of these who came in had published books or were directly working on one. Those who came had varied from photographers, editors, publishers, screenwriters, and all things creative. To be able to meet various creatives throughout my sophomore year instilled hope in me when I considered becoming a writer. At one point, I wondered who organized these author visits and Wellness Wednesdays. It wasn't until my junior year when I actually knew what RAC, Writers Room Advisory Council, was and wanted to join. Towards the end of my sophomore year, though, two of my friends were already in RAC, organizing and promoting events, going on field trips, and leading these events. I also wanted to be in those positions alongside them, and then came another round of recruitment for RAC as my junior year began. As currently, I'm a member of RAC, the Writers Room Advisory Council, the Youth Authors Council, which is another leadership group in 826 MSP, and would regularly attend Wellness Wednesdays and author visits. Aside from having a passion for writing, I have an interest in journalism and connecting students through various arts. By being a member of RAC, I've been able to learn and exercise interview skills, advertising and facilitating skills. These are all skills that I believe are not only essential but transferable to other aspects of student life. Even with students who don't have a passion for writing, I've seen many attend events to the writer's room and in return gave positive insights that impact them. To imagine my high school experience without the writer's room at Minneapolis South High School would be like no April showers, resulting in no May flowers. Because of my experience, I believe that there should not only be a writer's room at high schools throughout Minnesota, but also continued programs through 826 MSP, providing safe and welcoming third spaces.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, and please wish Minutra all the best luck on her road test. At least she's missing the snow, right? Okay, next we have Lila Koval, another student, but with a statement read by Christy Borini, and you are online. Would you please state your name for the record, and you may begin.
Hello, yes, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Christetta Borini, and I am the program director for 826 MSP. This is my sixth school year working for the organization, and I'm here to tell you about some of the impacts of the programs we have for the students and teachers we serve, as well as read a statement from Lila Koval. As my colleague, Dr. Adam, stated, when we survey our students, families, teachers, these stakeholders report really high rates of satisfaction in our programs. We have seen multiple students join two or more programs, like Munira Tu's statements shared, and teachers return to our programs year after year. We have extremely high retention rates with the majority of our students in our programs like the Writers' Room, After School Writing Lab, and Young Authors Council participating for two or more years. We have students who have been with us for several years, where there's oldest sibling is now in college, and their younger sibling in second grade is now just matriculating into our program. So it's really exciting that we see we have these long-term relationships with students, schools, and families. In addition to these positive reports, we see tangible gains in writing skills as well. Two times a year, we assess student writing ability. For students, these assessments look like something they do with us every day, simply writing a story. For us, we look at that story and we analyze it on a six-factor scale called the Analytic Writing Continuum. That's a rubric that was developed by the National Writing Project. The continuum examines writing skills based on content, organization, voice, fluency, word choice, and conventions. This past year, our students in our after-school writing lab, which is our tutoring and homework help space, all of these students, they speak a language other than English at home. They saw a 7% increase in their writing skills after a full year with us. So since 2016, 826 MSP has published 7 books of student writing, which I believe you have samples of in front of you right now. Our 8th, titled Something You Should Know About Us, is due to be published later this spring by fourth graders from St. Paul. Our students have been published in several national anthologies, including a collaboration with U.S. Poet Laureate Ada Limón. These opportunities matter. Alumni of our programs have gone on to speak at the commencement of their graduation ceremonies, win large scholarships, and become working writers and journalists here in the Twin Cities. But you don't have to take my word for it. You can hear it in the words of our students. So here's a statement from Lila Koval, who is a senior at Richfield High School and a PSEO student at the University of Minnesota. It was a coincidence, an accident, that I discovered 826MSP's Young Authors Council. My friends didn't know what it was, my teachers didn't know what it was, my mom didn't know what it was when she grabbed a flyer as we were leaving a literary event on the state fairgrounds. That accident, that coincidental acceptance of a brightly colored flyer, made me into a published writer. It introduced me to a whole community of people with similar interests and a love for all things language. 826MSP helped me develop confidence as a writer and learn more about where writing can take you after high school. The staff at 826MSP are endlessly patient, kind, enthusiastic, and flexible, whether it be when touring a publishing company or scheduling a last-minute meeting to review a student's college application before a deadline. Anyone who steps into the supportive environment they've cultivated can see that they want to be here. I've never felt anything but valued and heard while at 826MSP. Every student with a love of writing or reading deserves to have an organization like 826MSP in their corner. Though not many people know about 826MSP and its Young Authors Council, more support and funding will allow more students to discover the potential their writing has, and maybe then brightly colored flyers won't be the only way for this incredible community to grow. Thank you so much for your consideration, everyone.
Thank you for sharing all of that with us, Ms. Barini. Members, any questions or comments? Well, I don't know if anybody has looked through some of these writings, some of these books that have been put together, and I find them extremely inspirational. I'm so impressed with the writing, with the context of what is in there. And at a time when we know that students and schools are struggling with literacy and competency in those areas, and having been a teacher myself and had to teach both of those things to my students, you know, we can't, writing and reading are so intertwined. And the fact that you all have been able to bring students in to these writing labs and provide the kind of support and mentorship, I find very, very admirable. I was, last night I was listening to an interview that Louise Erdrich had with an award-winning author, Tommy Orange, an indigenous author. And he didn't start writing until his middle to late 20s. And he's had huge success once he started writing. And he said there was nobody there to encourage him, to mentor him, to say, you know, you've got skills, let us help you with that. And I just feel like, especially after looking at your different publications, that you've really hit on something so important to our students. And I love the fact that it comes out of South High. I have two daughters graduate from South High, so real impressed with the programs that high school has provided for their unique population of students. But anything else? All right. So Senator Muhammad, any final words?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for your patience with me today.
All right, so with that, Senator Muhammad, Senate File 2959 is laid over for possible inclusion in our omnibus bill. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Oops. And with that, we have nothing else on our list. We are not meeting tomorrow morning, so watch for next week's schedule. And thank you all for being here. This meeting is adjourned.